so we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, which has been manifested to us so that we can know the presence of the true and living God, beside whom there is no other. And Lord, we know in this age of idolatry, Trinitarianism, and those other things, Lord, that encompass the church and have taken away the truth, that this is more even necessary for us than for the heathen who know many gods and who really know nothing at all. Because we have said that we know and did not know, and we have proclaimed and witnessed to that which we did not give honor to truly by knowing you in spirit and in truth. But tonight we do, and we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to rid every thought from our minds which is contrary to truth, so we might stand completely isolated by the truth, in the truth, with the truth in us, and we thoroughly in it, Lord, that we might be so distinguished before you as part of that great word life that you yourself are. So we commend ourselves tonight, Lord, in calmness of spirit and heart, and trusting you'll help us to know more in the proper way of understanding what we were taught by your vindicated servant. We commend ourselves unto you, therefore, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 12 of leadership, and you may recall that shortly into this message, Brother Branham broached the doctrine of predestination. He actually more than broached it. He set it forth categorically, even as, of course, he would have to do so. But it wasn't long till he got into the message that he spoke on predestination and asserted that both he and the congregation were predestinated by God through God's omniscience and omnipotence to be there that night, as Brother Branham himself spoke on leadership, which subject would of necessity be also predestinated for that exact time and for that exact people by that exact prophet with the exact effect of the word foreknown, wherein certain ones would believe and certain ones would not. Now this, of course, is simple to take, because Brother Branham said God knew every flea. How many times it bat its eyeballs? How many to make a pound of tallow? So you understand that his message on that occasion and other occasions, he asserted that he was to be there preaching and those people were to be there listening, no other man preaching and teaching, and no more and no less than those exactly who were supposed to be there at that very hour. All right. Now notice what was actually predestinated to everyone there, the prophet included. It was that God had foreknown and purposed that God himself would be there, the person of eternal life, to be received or rejected exactly as the rich young ruler and Israel had done when they had the same opportunity and unfortunately made a very fatal decision by rejecting. Now, therefore, I and other believers of this message in that meeting that night and all the rest of the congregation and the prophet were categorically joining in a predestinated appointment with none other than God himself. Now that is something that blows your mind. That is something that the world cannot receive. That is something that the world was not meant to receive. But that is something that every single seed must receive or prove, contrary to their own desires, that they are anything but seed. They could be believers or unbelievers, but in no way could they be true believers. And as Moses, just prior to the entering into Canaan, stood with the people before the pillar of fire, so did we that night. And that night was the last public meeting when God declared himself openly to the people. That was by vindication and by discernment, which is the last sign the church would see, even as God stood outside the tent with Abraham and discerned what was going on with Sarah. And, of course, she is bride. Now, from that night of the final meeting of vindication, exactly like Moses went alone to meet God and then leave the scene on earth, so did Brother Branham go alone and meet God before his demise and come away without fear and in perfect love, the transcended even perfect faith. So you can understand that we now who have perfect faith by the perfectly revealed Word of God stand with him in his perfect love. And of course our love is made perfect to him through this message, through this revealed Word. Now in his last sermon, a short one on communion, I know of no further vindication of his ministry. Not public that night. And of course, no other night. But even as Christ, or as in Christ's hour of betrayal and death, when his communion service ended, his public ministry ended, so it was with William Branham. And now Moses and Paul and William Branham are waiting to eat and drink anew in the kingdom of God with the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, without further delineating upon the contents of the paragraphs which we read on page 21 and took so much time with, we're just going to read a part of those paragraphs, and then quickly we'll start at the top of page 22 and read and go on with this message. And Brother Branham said, you've got to accept the person Christ. Eternal life confronts every one of us. Don't forget that. So this is what we said in our preamble here, reading this, that there was an appointment with eternal life. Now, the scripture said it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. There's a very specific appointment when every one of us must stand before God and give an account. And there are those who send their sins on aforehand, and there are those who wait for those sins to catch up. But it's highly unusual, most highly unusual, that we should have an appointment with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the form of the Holy Spirit, which Holy Spirit is now here, even as he was with Brother Branham, scientifically proven in that picture, and he's leading us into the millennium. So Brother Branham says, you've got to accept the person, Christ. Eternal life confronts every one of us. Don't forget that. Now that life is present tonight. That's right. And he explains it. The Holy Spirit is here, which is Christ in spirit form. Now we know Christ, Christos, same as Mashiach, Messiah, in the Hebrew. And we know there is no scripture, I can't read me find anything, where you're going to find that there's anyone but God himself who is Messiah. And that Messiah who is Holy Spirit, who is God himself, tells you intrinsically, essentially what God is made of, when that substance of spirit dwelt in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that Lamb is not here. He is upon his Father's throne. And we, by the same grace and spirit of faith, are in that same throne tonight. Christ in spirit form, his spirit, the anointing is here. In other words, he is telling you that the anointing, which actually would, to me, as I understand it, be that God himself has put himself in a position with whomever he desires to be in position and is outworking exactly what he wants to work out at that particular time according to his purpose. So, according to his purpose, we are confronting eternal life in the person of Almighty God in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire, exactly according to his word. And that night he was there the last time publicly with the prophet, vindicating himself from the prophet, proving the word of the hour. But now he is here. I don't know where he is. I don't see he's in his building, but he's somewhere at the pillar of fire. God himself leading us into the millennium. Now, Brother Branham, because he is referring to the time of God upon earth in human flesh, and also speaking concerning the fact of the literalness of the person, Jesus, standing there to be confronted and confront, to handle and to be handled, he goes to reading, actually not reading, but quoting, and in quoting, you'll find that as a prophet can do it, and those that are thoroughly inured in Scripture and understand well, could do the same thing, which is take portions of Scripture and put them together under the guidance of the one that's vindicated, like Brother Branham vindicated. The Apostle Paul did the same thing. The Apostle Paul even reached into the book of wisdom, which is not in the canon of Scripture, and quoted from it. So evidently, now Brother Branham says, a little while and the world sees me no more, yet you will see me, for I'll be with you even in you to the consummation, to the end of the world. Now you can't find the word consummation in the New Testament. That's over here in the book of Daniel, and I guess it's the 9th chapter. I got written down here, trusting it is. And in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he'll cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. The overthreading abomination shall he make a desolate even unto the consummation. So I don't know of any word. Of course, the word consummation means the actual fulfillment, the end of it, where there isn't any more. It actually means that something has come to a complete harvest, that which was planted. There's nothing you can do about it now because the planting is over, the growing is over. The wheat has actually come to the place where the chaff and shuck is pulling away and the wheat is ready for the harvest, and the fan is in the hand. There's the just getting ready now for the great taking off. So, all right, we have this here where Jesus promised them, and the promise now is to us. This was according to John 14. Might as well go back because there's where Brother Branham was working from that scripture. And he says in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, Father me, or believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than shall he these do, because I go to my Father. Now, let's understand this. If the works were done by God in this prophet, Jesus, then there has to be a complete, perfect parallel that God himself then, in this end-time man, who would do the greater works. You follow me now? You can't break the mold. It must be identical. So, if it was done in Jesus the Christ, the great prophet, because that's what he was. As I said many times, that's it. People don't want to talk about him. The Lamb of God, even want to make him God in one of the persons of God. They want this and that. But they fail to realize that he was that prophet. Now, what God would want to do in and through that prophet is God's own business. And remember, every prophet was repudiated. Most of them were killed. Now, there were a few fortunate ones, fortunate you might call fortunate to the extent that God got them out of their problems, and they didn't have to die. But remember, they were persecuted, and prophets were absolutely eaten up in the city of Jerusalem. Now, Jesus, as that prophet, had to die in that city. And you cannot change the fact that he was prophet. So most people always want to go and say, we're going to make him God, we're going to make him this, make him that. You should not do that. Because the minute you do that, you'll then destroy verse 12. Now remember, what is he talking about? Do you believe the Father's in me doing these works? Do you believe the Father's in me saying these things? Now hey, that cannot be said of anybody but a prophet. Deuteronomy 18. You can't get away from it. Now, if you're going to have this one come with the greater works. Now, what were the works? God in his own prophet, the Son. Right? God in the prophets to the fathers. God in Paul to the people. Okay. Now, at the end time, then, there will be God in this man, and he will be a prophet. Because Brother Branham categorically stated in the rapture, there's no such thing as a true healing revival. Now, that's what Jesus had. And that's predicted in Acts 3. Unless there is a new message, because God does not vindicate the same old tired message. Can't do it. So we see here then God raising up a man with the greater works. In other words, God greater measure. Brother Branham categorically said, he used the term Jesus in reference to Jehovah Savior, God himself, Elohim. He had greater success in my ministry here than he had in his own down there. In other words, when he came and God came in the flesh of this one. Now remember, he just was prophet, but he was beyond prophet. See, you're looking at something different than any other prophet. But now it says greater works. So therefore, God will now manifest himself in this great measure. Then if this being the case, can you tell me anything that would strike your mind with greater force than the understanding that this message from this man with the greater works, what would happen? They bring it all together in a great consummation. Now, the bringing it together in the great consummation. You know what? Nobody wants it. Just like in the time of Jesus. Because Jesus ruined everything by talking. And then he blamed it on his Father. He said, you want to know who does the works? He said, God does them. And he's in me, my Father. He said, you want to know who's doing the talking? God's doing the talking. William Branham said, it was not my message. Oh, no. I was only one standing near when he said it. I was just a voice. So, what you're looking at then is tremendously, tremendously important because Brother Branham is taking this scripture here and he's referring it to the 20th century appointment of Almighty God with his prophet and the people at that meeting. And you know what? There are many people, no doubt, sitting there who were chosen to be there unknowingly as Judas and for as horrible a treatment of God. A rejection of the Holy Spirit. He never got to Pentecost. So today, they'll reject the Holy Spirit that's in our midst. Now, Brother Branham says here at this particular time, and he's quoting from John 14 and from John 16, And it's not perfect quote, but it is being a prophet. In other words, I'm telling you, he didn't pick one scripture out and put it in one place, and he's able to do it. It's in John 14 and 19. Yet a little while the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live. You shall live also. And then in 16 and maybe 16 it says, a little while you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, bringing that to this hour, you can understand that Brother Branham is saying, now listen, this is the last time. This is where true leadership is, and you full gospel businessmen that brought me here under Carl Williams, I've told you how to get prepared for the rapture, is to never say anything that the denominations and the creeds and your church of the three divisions, Luther, Wesley, Pentecostals, if you talk their way, you'll never be ready. You're not going. The way to be ready is to come with this message, because there is no life outside of this message. And now you're face to face with the person of eternal life, God Himself, in a predestinated confrontation. Now, which way are you going to go? Now, to us who were there and believed, He is telling us, you won't be seeing this anymore. Brother Branham is quoting God Himself. So therefore, God Himself is talking. You won't be seeing me vindicate myself. You won't be seeing the prophet. But I'll be with you. Now notice, with and in. Now with and in are not the same thing, though in a measure they are. Because to be baptized with the Holy Ghost is not God with you. It is God in you. And thereby being in you, He is with you. But, get this flat, He can be in you and not with you. And He was with that crowd that night. And a lot of people, He wasn't in them. Because they turned down the word flat, even to the extent of washing pots and pans. David, in his sin, and every Israelite, in their sins, all they had to do was meet the requirements, which were mechanical, to obviate the carnal, pretentious, death working principles within them that were sin. They simply take a lamb, cut its throat, give the blood. I simply can't understand how Israel flunked so badly when that's all. My God, what did they have to turn to devils for? Now I ask you a question concerning women. Why haven't they learned the dress code? Some of them can't. Nobody asked them to sing and dance, but they do. No one asked them to preach. I'm not fussing with you ladies, you know that. Because the church, the women represent the church. And it's beyond me why simple little mechanical things like dress, when in this hour you can wear your hair any way you want it, in the grungier and the filthier the better. You can put a bone in your nose. You can hang junk from your ears that, my God, I don't know why it doesn't stretch the earlobes, but that's your business, women's business out there, not here. But you know something? My Bible tells me if you don't handle the righteous, unrighteous mammon, no one's going to trust you with the true riches. They couldn't even listen long enough to put their skirts in shape and their hair in shape and a few things in shape. And they said, well, teach us gifts. And Brother Brand said, how am I going to teach you algebra when you don't know your ABCs? So he says here, I'll be with you, bride, even in you. But when the pillar of fire left the church, that's when Paul no doubt left the scene. That same pillar of fire never came back until 1933 in June the 17th. Or 7th, I guess it was, rather. Never came back until that time. And when he goes this time, he's going to take a bride with him. And yet those people sat there thinking, isn't that wonderful? He's with us like he's in Africa. He's everywhere, hallelujah, because we spoke in tongues. And Brother Branham said, you can get that kind of anointing 1,000 times a day and still miss it all. All right. To the bride, he said, even to the consummation. In other words, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, at the time when it's running out, because it's temporary, over here in Ephesians, the first chapter, we all know it, we read it hundreds of times to you, Paul speaking of being sealed to the day of redemption, to the purchased possession, that's the body's coming up into glory. He said, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. Now you're already full of the Holy Ghost. That's in you. Now this one here is not with you until a certain time. And this is where justification gives way to sanctification, and sanctification gives way to the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and the baptism with the Holy Ghost gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. That's what it says here. A vindicated prophet brought it to us. Presence. Perusia. Oh, they hate that. I don't care what they hate. I love it. I got a friend who loves Limburger cheese. My presence is Limburger cheese to them. I say, great. They won't want my presence. Now watch, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge himself, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And he's going to be God with us. Huh? Now how, why was he named Emmanuel? Because God was in him. So therefore, unto us a son is born, child is born, a son is given. You can relate the same thing right here. God is going to give us that spirit. How is he going to do it? By himself. Being here himself. And there he is, the pillar of fire. Picture taken. Now watch, at that time, the eyes of the understanding being enlightened. Now this has to be an enlightenment beyond Ephesians baptism. Way beyond that. Because this is something they don't have. A certain revelation by the spirit of wisdom, the knowledge of him is missing. And the eyes of the understanding have not been fully opened. Because there's a prayer that they may be. And at that time you do not know, but at that time you could know, that at that time there'll be an appointment. With God and his church. So some will take and some will turn down. And at that time, you know what the riches of his glory is. The inheritance of saints. And the rest
will be saying, we're rich in Christian goods and don't lack a thing. And he said, you're really sitting there like beggars all the time boasting that you're millionaires, you're heirs to God's kingdom, you got eternal life. And he said, you're beggars. Because that word means like a beggar, rich and poor. It means like a beggar begging for alms. He said, you're not possessors, you're beggars. These are possessors. Now what do they possess? They possess the Most High God. He's their great possession. So Brother Branham said, there's no great ones, there's no Pope, there's no this, there's no that. The great one is here, the Holy Ghost himself. And you know what their true riches are. And the inheritance in the saints, Brother Branham said, is the word of Almighty God. And notice, what is exceeding great is his power to us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ. Listen, he's telling you right here, Jesus Christ's death is what gave you the privilege of the blood to sanctify you and make you perfect before God so the Holy Ghost could come in. That's in the book of Hebrews. But this is different. That did not give you the right to know the power of the out resurrection. That merely sealed you into it. But this is resurrection time, so Brother Branham literally calls the bride Easter. You are Easter. You are resurrection. Why? Because the same one that brought the shout, proving it is he who raises the dead. Huh? Now here proving that Jesus is indeed raised and the rest are going to be raised with him, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from his dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality, power, and dominion, and so on. Now notice what it says here. It says this is what it did at the time of Jesus' death. And he raised him and set him at his own right hand. But now where is he? On his Father's throne. And the word comes back to you and me. And Jesus has brought that word to us. The Father himself always brings his own word. Doesn't matter what form you're going to use. It's always got to be the Father, his own word. Jesus himself said, the words aren't my word. And Brother Ben said, the words aren't my word. The prophet said, the word is altogether in my tongue. You put your words in my mouth. So you can't go on beyond that. What is it now? He stood at the door. The judge stood at the door. Remember, God is the judge of all the earth. One like unto a son of man. Repeat ministry, the days of the son of man. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, know thereof, come and supper with him and me. And he said, he that overcometh will sit with me in my throne as I have overcome and sat down in my Father's throne. Not just heavenly places in the throne room. Just let us sweep over you and believe it. So I have nothing to do with it. This is the appointment of that hour of God meeting with that people, and some were brides sitting there. His little bride, he said, you never even did it. You're the perfect, righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it. You were tricked into it. Now, he's telling us here that God himself, who alone can raise the dead, is this same God who is here in a revelation, face to face, with the knowledge and an understanding that no other church age had because it depended on this presence. And Paul himself knew that presence. He most certainly did. All right, so Brother Branham says, I'll be with you, even in you, to the very end, to the consummation. Well, now look, that's the truth. That's the truth. Just solid, perfect truth. The Spirit that's in our midst, going to take us up in the rapture, going to become incarnate to us, reincarnated in the body, the Lamb, crowned King, the King of Lord of Lords, that will be the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of Man, King of King, Lord of Lords, altogether lovely, Rose of Sharon, Little Valley, 400 titles or so, and then much, much more. All right. He says Jesus alone can lead you to that eternal life. Now, here's something to consider. He said, Jesus alone, that's Jehovah's Savior, can lead you alone to that eternal life. Now, he's taken us back to the time of the rich young ruler, to Israel, and he is categorically setting forth the confrontation to be identical. And he says, Jesus alone can lead you to that eternal life. Now, if I understand English, and the prophet knew what he was talking, and he most certainly did, he's vindicated, he's telling you that someone here is leading someone else to eternal life. Now, this one doing the leading is eternal life himself. So, therefore, God himself is leading you to himself. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thy throne. Blessed is the one in that meeting in 1965, which would be about, what, the 10th? Maybe some of them. 9th, I forget which. And I can't look it up here because I think that page is missing. December 1965, at that appointed time, that God himself was leading them to himself, and thereby eternal life, and categorically immortality, swallowing up mortality. Jesus alone. This is something God alone can do. William Branham could not do it. He could witness to it. He could be, as Paul the Apostle said, now we're ambassadors for Christ. Brother Branham explained the ambassador. He literally stands there for the entire kingdom, for the entire nation, for the king or the president, the entire people. Well, I got news for you. This is the God who, when Adam and Eve sinned, he never sent a legate, an ambassador, an archangel. He himself came down so today. So God himself is there to lead you to himself. To that eternal life, which God is. Now, how's he going to lead? This is what Brother Bannon said. There's no church, no denomination, no preacher, no priest, no anything else can lead you to it. You must be led by him, the only one that can lead you. Now notice, he's bringing up the church. He's bringing up denomination, which the full gospel businessmen denominated. And they took as their God, a heathen God, a Trinity, and there's only one God. And we're not talking Jesus only. No way, shape, and form. Because Brother Branham said, we are not oneness, which was organized oneness. He was oneness as to the Godhead. If he claimed different, he'd be lying. There's no way he couldn't be oneness. There's one God. And remember, he talked about Jesus and God, and he said they're one, but not like that finger. So therefore, they're two individuals. And their oneness is something which is different. You all know about it anyway. And he said, no preacher. They were led by Mr. Shakarian, who put all his faith in Dr. Price, who was dead. Dr. Price died at age 62 in 1946. William Branham came on the scene. Price was taken off the scene. No anything else can lead you. Not a dream. And now listen, in spite of all the vindication, Bless God, I'm going to follow that one that I know did all those works. Well, how do you know you're following him outside of a word? Can't know it. See, it won't work. He's the only one who can lead you. And remember, Brother Branham always said, he's the Word. Can you imagine him? Now, he told you who him is. He's the Holy Spirit. He tells you that. Oh, he told us several times. Leading you out of his word? Or leading you apart from his word? Or him taking you away from his word? How come? You got all these preachers trying to inundate this movement. Not this movement, but these people. Who try to discern. And their qualities manifested by their inability to discern. And the anecdotes they foist on the people and the Branhamites run. They can't run fast enough and hard enough and quick enough to get there. Makes me wonder. Where do you get sweet little old ladies sitting on red hot stoves and not getting burnt? Find this in the Bible. Brother Branham reputed it. He said, you Pentecost, you think you know something. He said, you ought to be where I was, where I saw them walk on red hot coals, white coals, with fish hooks in their skin drawing carts, weighed down pound after pound in their skin. I want to know. I want to know. You see, you believe God, you're on God's side. I got news for you. I don't know your God. I know William Branham's God, who repudiated it. Hallelujah! I can shout now because it's the truth. You do what you want. You want to swing the chandeliers with me? Fine. This is something to get excited about. Not lies and false prophecies. Like the guy went down to Rourke's church. We know the man. Not the man he went to, but the guy that went down. He said, now, if I should stand up and prophesy, and my prophecy should fail, he said, don't get upset. Babe Ruth didn't get a home run every time he went to bat. And they all screamed, amen. My prophet said, if you ever do that, you pray that devil out of you. Oh, my, mustn't do that, Brother Bill. You'll offend somebody. Well, I'm very happy to offend you. You think I'm going to offend God and then stand at the white throne having been nice to you or somebody else to get along? Forget it. I don't get along with anybody. I don't even get along with God. That's the truth. The only reason he gets along with me, and he's the one that's doing it, because the peace of the blood of Jesus Christ did it. We backslide 1,000 times a day and befoul his precious, wonderful name. I'm not standing here like some goody. Let the goody-goody stand here, and then they'll lead you into a trap of adultery and everything else. Go ahead, be my guest. No. I'm going to stand up here and lie to you. I was born a liar, but I got changed. How can this Holy Spirit lead you out of his word and outside of his word, when every single thing in manifestation of vindication is given to get you to the word? I don't see God defeating his own purpose. I can see you and me doing it. Oh boy, no problem there. Could you imagine the Holy Spirit, him leading you out of his word, which that is he himself? If he is the Word, and he is the Word. Of course, a lot of Ahai has been poisoned by Olson, who came by and separated Rima and Logos. Here's the Bible, and there's Strong's Concordance. I'll prove to you, Rima and Logos are the same thing, interchangeable. Brother Branham made them interchangeable. There it is right there. I got the time. You think Rima and Logos
aren't interchangeable. I got news for you. Because everything what God was in his omniscience, and he can only be his own thinking, he put in a book. And then he brought it into manifestation. Rhema-logos God. Oh yeah, that's where Brother Branham could always say he is the Word. God, Paul said, God will judge the world by my gospel, by one Christ Jesus. And Brother Branham said, he is the Word. And I'm going to tell you one thing, there is no such thing as a judge within himself. Let's forget that 100%. There is no such thing as a judge within himself. He has to have a word. Huh? Why, certainly. Certainly. All right. And if he is the Word, and we know he is the Word, and you're a part of him who is the Word, won't you be a part of the Word? Why, certainly that's our testimony. Now that shakes them down, doesn't it? Yeah. Yes. First Peter. 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. There's no such thing as having that truth except through the Spirit. If the Spirit of truth does not lead you to the truth, you're out of luck. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. His brother Branham said, how can you not help love each other, you that love this message? See, there's your real love. How can you love someone trying to brutalize and kill it and take away the very thing you and I love and stand for? So, Brother Bill, certainly they have every right, because they have every right. But don't expect me to join it. Unto one thing, love of the brethren. See you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Watch, being born again, not of corruptible spora, but of incorruptible spora, by the word of God. Now you tell me that God loves a hybrid. You tell me that God wants a horse and a cow to breed together. Then I'll deny this scripture. You follow what I'm saying? Come on, let's read it again in case you didn't get it. Unto being born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. So the birth has to come by word. And Brother Branham said, you can't build a body, nor is Christ building a body, of a cat cell, no, a human cell, and a cat cell, and a dog cell. Neither then can you and I. Be born of anything but that word. And I'm going to tell you, if a penguin can find its own mother, and you've seen pictures of penguins on ice and snow up there in the Antarctic, and there's no reason why it should know, and the mother can tell. Now, there might be just one or two in a million fail that test. But the fact of the matter is, birds of a feather flock together, and yet they're trying to get the body of Christ to be made up of organization and every bunch of creeds and teams that people come together because they say they believe the Bible and they believe in the blessed Holy Spirit, and they end up killing themselves by the blessed Trinity, because there ain't no blessed Trinity. If there's any Trinity, it's very unblessed. Because God's not in a Trinity, but he's triune in what he does, but he's not in any Trinity. So it says right here, you being a part of that word, how could word come upon you and me in birth? See? Because it's got to mix. Like Brother Branham said, the church has absolutely refused to have spiritual intercourse with God to bring forth that son. They don't want it. How could you and I be born of God unless we were already in him?
as part of that dynamic race, God race, even as there are bloodlines in animals. So, and if he is the Word and you're a part of him, won't you be a part of the Word? The Word, that's that seed, that God wants, First Peter, wants to pour the waters of salvation upon today to identify him today, like the apostles identified him, like Luther, like Wesley, like in people, in their days, identified him. Now, what's he telling you there? Every single one of them went to the Word. And at this time, we're going all the way to the Word for this hour, and the author, progenitor, and the perfecter, complete, conclusive work, in this very hour. Now, I want you to notice what he goes on to say. This is another age. So being another age, you're going to have to go to the Word again. Didn't Luther? Oh, I should have brought it and didn't. I could have read you something wonderful from Romans, the 10th chapter. I'll read it another time for you, though, when I remember to bring it. Luther went to the Word, and the Word that rang in his soul, the just shall live by faith. Wesley came on the scene with sanctification. The Pentecostals came, which is an offshoot of Wesley in the tail end. They came on with the baptism and restoration of gifts. Now, what is the last thing to be restored? It tells you categorically that Jesus is waiting to descend to meet us in the air at the time of refreshing from the presence of God in this great healing, revival, of vindication. He's waiting. But he can't come. That's categorically the scripture. Acts chapter 3. 19 to 20, 21, right on through. He cannot come until the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of holy prophets. And he starts with Samuel, because Samuel was fully identified with the Word and can prove the Word that was given. And William Branham did the same thing, because William Branham was not that Word giver. Paul was. William Branham was a revealer, and he himself said, just think how wonderful, the same pillar of fire that brought the Word to Paul is here revealing. So there you are. Now watch again what he says here. He said, like the apostles, you know, revealed Word, identified him, like Luther, Wesley, they went right to the Word to get what? To get that which led them to the author, well, put it this way, the person of eternal life. And without that Word, there was no conduit to the person who was eternal life. Now, he said, this is another age. Luther, Wesley, Pentecostals, we're closing the age off, and now we're another age. What does he say? It's the Word. Now watch, the Word said these things that we're seeing taking place now. It's predicted to take place in this hour. So, accept Jesus Christ and let him lead you to eternal life. That doesn't say let him give you eternal life. That goes without saying, of course. The fact of the matter is, you already got it. If you're a seed of God, you already have it. Brother Branham said, you'll come to realize one day you always were saved. You always were that seed. This is tough for people to get, because they still believe God turns pigs into sheep, and dogs into sheep, goats into sheep. I can't believe that. He just be breaking every single thing that he stands for in nature. How could Paul stand up and tell the world, hey, if you don't see God in nature, there's something wrong with him? If I saw God doing that, I'd certainly know there's something radically wrong somewhere with God, because if he's going to fool with mutations and crossbreedings and everything else, we could get so lost in the shuffle, it's pitiful. Nah, there's no losing in the shuffle, brother, sister. Don't ever believe that for 1 minute. If you didn't come from God, if I didn't come from God, we have no representation, no matter what anybody says. Now, the Word says these things you're seeing taking place now. It's predicted to take place in this hour. Of course, Matthew 12 did it, and Matthew 24, the two together. You've got Matthew 24 that tells you where you see the true and false vine, and in Matthew 12 where you see God himself come right down to the Gentiles and hurl them from judgment right into victory. Judged right on earth here, taken right up in victory in the rapture. Matthew the 12th chapter. We've been in dozens and dozens of times. Everyone knows that. Now, so he says, accept Jesus Christ and let him lead you to eternal life. All right. So what's Jesus? Jehovah's Savior. What's Christ? He's Messiah. You show me where God wasn't all those things. Before that could ever have appeared in a man, where the Son became the sacrifice, it had to be in God, because he came out of God. He played the roles that God wanted to play. God himself being the progenitor of it all. He was the great leader of it all. Now, let's go on a little further. So we accept the one over here in Ephesians 1, 17, according to John 14, and I guess that's 12 in there. Yeah, number 12 is compared to 11. 11 gives way to 12. Now, though he had achieved much, this young fellow, he had achieved all good things. In school, he'd been a fine boy, good boy, no doubt, been real good, had as a real father. In listening to his daddy in business, he'd been a good boy, good to his parents, he'd been loyal to his priest, he had been loyal to his church, been loyal to the commandments of God, but he lost the greatest thing. The rest of them didn't mean very much to him when he turned down the leadership of eternal life, Jesus Christ. So Brother Branham is telling you here, the same one that leads us to the millennium is right there now, dealing with people, and people turned him down all the time claiming they had him. All the time claiming to be full of the Holy Ghost. How could they be full of the Holy Ghost? Turning down the very one that vindicated one was giving to them. How could they be a part of the Word? They could not be. See, they simply cannot put the Word of God together. It takes a prophet to bring it to us so that we can understand and have the revelation. And remember this, when he brings it, it still takes the Holy Spirit within us to understand those things. Notice, this leadership, pillar of fire, right today, confronting, like in the human body of Jesus, confronts every one of us today. Now watch. Here he says here, this is another age, it's the Word age. In other words, it's time now for the Word to be fully restored. And at that time, according to the book of Acts, those who turn it down, which will turn down that prophet, and God's his own prophet, Brother Branham hit it right on the head, they positively will be utterly destroyed. And that goes for foolish virgin and every single other person. Now, another age of the world, now he said here, now notice this leadership, God in the pillar of fire, leading to the millennium, working through the prophet, confronting us, every one of us today, confronts every one of us today. The Word in the age of the Word confronts us. Now, let's face it. If you're in a Pentecostal age and Pentecostal minded, it wouldn't be too hard to believe that he came down the pillar of fire, walked among you, handing out gifts and everything else. No problem. But if you bring it to the point that this presence is a confrontation of truly revealed Word, you are going to die for it if they could possibly skewer your gizzard. Got to be that way. Got to be that way. Yep, repudiation always comes from the Word. Now notice, this leadership confronts every one of us today. The same thing as it did that young man. God manifested in flesh on the scene again. The work's absolutely proving it on the scene again. What's coming out? The word of the hour. The word of the hour standing there, the word manifested, the word fulfilled, the word of that age. Here he stood right there in human flesh and he said, "Son, I'm going to tell you something. You want something, really want eternal life? Sell all you have and give to the poor. Come and follow me. And I'll lead you to that very eternal life that you want." Hasn't changed one iota. Hasn't changed one iota. No. No matter how religious we are, you may be Catholic, you may be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, whatever you are, the same thing confronts you tonight. Eternal life. That's acceptance of Jesus Christ. And they all scream, "Hallelujah, that's it." Well, we all believe that. You're preaching our line of thought. Now, absolutely right. But they're not. They're not right. Because he laid the condition down of word, coming to word, and laying word upon word. And when they reject that word, automatically they are rejecting the Holy Spirit, or even put it kindly, and I'm not prone to be too kind, because I don't want to be deceitful, even rejecting a part of the Holy Spirit. But this time they don't. They reject the full Holy Spirit, the full measure, and the full measure of the Word. See? Confront tonight, eternal life, that's acceptance of Jesus Christ. We are given this opportunity. Now, Brother Branham here, under the pillar of fire leading us to the millennium, which he's doing that for us, giving these irrevocable signs of vindication. William Branham stands there. And let us understand this. That William Branham had to acknowledge the headship of Almighty God as much as anybody else, and perhaps even more so because he was completely familiar with it. Now trying to bring us to it. Now, these ministers here and these people that Brother Brown is speaking to, and they head up everything from behind them because they're the last. They're the harvest. And the harvest is where it's completely ripe. So if the full gospel businessmen really took over in the Pentecost, to go to the whole world, you can see in them a complete ripeness of what the false church is. And I'm not trying to hurt them. It's just, hey, that's just the truth. Not trying to draw a conclusion. It was told us. They're the chaff. They're the last organizers. And remember, they are businessmen repudiating the fivefold ministry. You say they didn't really do it. Oh, yes, they did. They said, "You guys didn't do it, so we're going to do it for you. We're going to put you in a straitjacket. Believe me, we're going to win the world for God. You aren't doing it. We're going to show how it's done." Oh, boy. I know too much about them. I'm not going to talk anymore. But the fact of the matter is, there are two churches coming to maturity. And one church is coming to maturity by God and through God, God himself, by his own vindicated, truly revealed word, headship is here. And the others have taken a council. And in that council, as it was with Constantine, the business and the church have come together in organization with the leadership of people and not the person of God himself. Thereby building an image, crafting an organization, an ecumenical society by ecumenism, all coming together and then bringing in the Antichrist, which they thought evidently was Christ. Because they're completely deluded now. Their doctrine of Pentecostal baptism with the Holy Ghost, initials, evidence, speaking in tongues, has condemned them, because now every Catholic who speaks in tongues must truly be filled with the Holy Ghost, must truly be right, no matter if he's 100% wrong. They do not understand the anointing from the true baptism, which Brother Branham brought us, which is one of the great mysteries under the seals, under the seven thunders. They did not understand these things, and they don't understand them. And I do not believe for one minute they will ever understand them, because there is no place to turn. it's a matter of being over. Well, we've gone far enough here. There's many good things coming in here, but we'll try to review this and catch up again where we're going. But remember now, especially the preamble, which I brought to you. I carefully put notes on it and carefully read it. This was a predestinated meeting of God with predestinated people. And there were sinners sitting there just as predestinated and called as was Judas. Now remember that Judas' name was in the book of life and taken up. Remember, that was back in Israel when they went by the flesh. But there are many people still in the realm of the flesh today. Their names can be in the book and taken up, but they never were seen.
Amen.
They never were either wise or foolish virgin. They just weren't it. But they had that confrontation. And there it was. Everything is now in direct parallel as it was 2,000 years ago. Alpha has become Omega. There is nothing you and I can do about it except believe it and go on with it. And remember, our path of faith, which is giving God credit that God cannot lie, He's brought to us the vindicated truth, that path of faith we hold on to. It's above every type of active faith that you and I may profess and put forth in God, because without that revelation, there is no true righteousness, there is no true worship. But today we have come back to the place of true worship and serving God. Now listen to me carefully. Without this, we could not go into the millennium where temple worship is not restored, but it comes right in. Huh? It's exactly the truth. The temple will be there. Priests and kings unto God. Worshiping God. 24 elders, cherubim. It's going to be marvelous. And from that, remember, it goes then, after the second resurrection, bringing up all the foolish virgins, all those that are qualified, receiving the Holy Spirit, coming right into the full eternal life. Whether their body is identical to ours, I cannot tell you, nor will I even pretend to know. I would think and hope they would be. I don't know. And then again, you'll notice, what's there? The Lamb on the throne, the pillar of fire. All the bride coming through Him, all the rest coming. See, you cannot worship and serve God without a prophet. You cannot worship and serve God apart from the truth of the Word. There's no way. Yet people worshiping and serving, they claim to be. Didn't we do wonderful miracles? Didn't we do this and that? He never said one thing that they didn't. He said, but He did say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. In other words, you had the nerve to take the Word of Almighty God, make a big profession, use the very things I laid out there, and come against my kingdom and do it. And you say, I don't know that people do that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's why Jesus said, you're father of the devil, because that's what the devil did. The devil took everything that God gave him and used it against God. Came right in and used the Word. Huh?
Amen.
This is the hour of great peril. And it's the hour of wonderful apparel. We're putting on the Word. All right, let's ride in between. Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the time we had here, which we appreciate being in your house with your people. And we love you, Lord, that you have allowed us this great privilege. And we pray, Lord, anyone as the prophet said, to take this message as our healing. And as John, the beloved, said, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And, Lord, I really believe with all my heart that though people could look at us and say, oh, you people, you can't be that people, I believe, Lord, with all of my heart and the people tonight, that there's nobody prospered more than we in all the ages to this tonight. This is the great hour of soul prosperity. And we know, Lord, if anything's being missing, it's our fault. God, help us to lay it in our souls as never before. And that way then, Lord, we take this message as our healing, our health, and our welfare, because we believe it, Lord. Surely, Lord, if this message is giving us the strength, the knowledge, the wisdom, and those things to carry us over that beautiful promised land, the millennium, that great worship and service to God, oh my, how wonderful that word is. We just perhaps aren't taking enough time, Lord, to let you soak it into our hearts and minds, our minds and hearts. until we just become vibrant with the life in that word. So we appreciate everyone tonight, Lord. May the sick amongst us be healed, just wonderfully healed, Lord. May the problems of mind and spirit disappear. May the galling things of life, Lord, turn into marvelous trophies of victory as we cast all our burdens upon you. May the name and the presence of our God be exalted amongst the heathen. Lord, we do praise your name and thank you for it all. Go with us to our homes, Lord. Help all those who need any help in particular with lies in the word there, Lord. We know it all lies in there. Help us all to see your promises and to know that just as surely as you fulfilled a word we didn't even know was there, how much will you fulfill the word that we do know is there as we cast our burdens upon you. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.